It's December 3rd. My name is Sam Reifkogel. I pastor a wonderful group of Jesus followers, and we're called Grand Rapids First Church. And today, I don't know how you may have come across this. Someone may have put it on a thumb drive, or you're watching the website. Crazy things are happening in the world right now, and you found something, a little card that said, if millions of people disappeared, here's what you need to know. We've prepared this just for you. Although we're not here, we prepared this just for you. It's entitled, What to Do If You Miss the Rapture. And if millions of people have mysteriously disappeared, you want to listen to the entire duration of what I'm going to talk about today. Because how you respond from here on will determine eternal life with Jesus, because you're going to see that he's given you another opportunity, or eternal judgment of a real hell that is prepared for Satan. That's who it was prepared for. But for those who choose to reject the lordship of Jesus Christ and to follow him. And so what I have to say is extremely, extremely, extremely important. And you say, well, what does this mean, this rapture thing, for a moment? Before I give you the instructions, let me just give you background. What does this mean, this rapture thing? I never heard of it, because you're hearing a lot of things in the media. Millions of people have disappeared, and you're just trying to figure it all out. What does it mean? So knowing the right thing determines how you're going to make decisions for the future. The teaching of the rapture is something that's straight out of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, spoke about this taking away of Jesus Christ's followers. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that fast, the bat of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That means they're literally not just the living, but those who have died loving Jesus Christ will come forth out of their graves. You look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said this again under the Holy Spirit inspiration. He said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You're wondering why you see these grave sites, people, newscasters are out there. What's going on? The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Now you're saying, well, I've never heard this word rapture in the Bible. Well, you don't see the word Sunday in the Bible, and you don't see the word millennium in the Bible. You don't see the word Trinity in the Bible, but they're all theology and teaching that is really in the Bible. That word rapture literally comes from a Latin word, which came from the Greek word in which we receive the New Testament. And that word caught up in 1 Thessalonians, when Paul was talking, that word caught up in the Greek word is a word called harpazo. The word harpazo literally means to be snatched up or to catch away by force. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know how it happened, but we know that God took the body of Christ before the Antichrist is revealed. Before tribulation period starts on the planet Earth, the believer has been taken away. So listen, if we're still here, if Sam Reifkogel is still preaching over at Grand Rapids First, and all of us Jesus follows here, I'm telling you, the rapture's not taking place yet. Okay? But if you're watching TV and the craziest things are happening, and now all of a sudden you're going, what is going on? I'm telling you, you need to listen to what I have to say. It'll determine your eternal soul with Jesus or eternal soul in torment of a real hell. You better listen to what I say. If you've ever listened to a preacher, you might have thumbed their nose and thought we're a bunch of ignorant country bumpkins, a bunch of spiritual rednecks that didn't know anything and were ignorant. I'm telling you, you better listen today. Today you need to listen. It's not time to shut it off. Not time to turn off preacher, because they're all alike. You need to hear what I have to say. If you just a moment ago went in there, put your child in that crib, and now you went back and your child is gone. Your other little toddler was over here playing, and all of a sudden you went around the corner, and now that child's not there. They weren't abducted. Your children were not abducted. They've been taken in the rapture with the believers. If you were walking down, you were walking this afternoon down your high school hallway, your parents are in here trying to figure out, they've been calling your cell phone, circuits are jammed right now, and they finally got through to you, and you were walking down the high school hallway, and a moment ago you saw your friend, but now all you see is a backpack laying there, and backpacks everywhere, and I'm telling you, you better listen to what I have to say. If you were sitting in that boardroom, sir, and you amassed all this money, you had the world by a brass ring and you had it all, you grabbed it, but now all of a sudden there are people that were around that table missing. You need to listen to what I have to say. If planes have fallen out of the sky and you don't know what in the world's going on, I'm telling you, what has happened is the rapture of the church has taken place. If you've run to the church, I'm sure the parking lot is packed and it's jammed to try to get into even to this church. I bet they're packed. But if there are believers that are not there, something mysteriously has happened. You need to hear what I say. The rapture has occurred. I know you're frightened. I know you're scared. But you need to listen to the word of God today and don't suck in and don't buy into what the media is saying. Already they've been setting up to explain this event away, and it is already occurring right now. New Agers are saying some type of harmonic convergence has probably occurred, and we told you there'd be this cleansing of the earth, and this is what's happened. Don't buy it. You're probably hearing some saying, well, we told you that there was alien life form. Even the smartest, most intellectual people in this world, they're believing that some alien life form has taken us. Don't believe it. We weren't taken by an alien, but we were taken up by the Almighty, I promise. I don't know if right now they're telling the black hole theories are now confirmed with so much force that even some dead graves have been sucked up alien, and we're sucked in some black hole. I am saying to you, what has happened is the rapture of the church. You say, what do I do? What do I do? I found this, what I do. I'm going to give you 14 instructions in just a moment. You need to write them down and you need to follow them closely. But before I talk to you, I got a group of Jesus followers in this place that are crazy wild about Jesus, looking forward to Jesus Christ coming and taking them and returning again. They're excited about it. I'm going to talk to them about the urgency of the hour. I'm going to talk to them about the rapture, the tribulation, and then the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to get discouraged because they're really happy. And I don't want you to get discouraged because we're doing this for you. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming soon. And I have a question for all of you now. Jesus followers, how many are looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many are looking forward to the church being taken out of this place? Come on, somebody, give Jesus some praise if you're excited about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're going to be out of this place one day. That's why there's so much joy. You're looking forward to Jesus coming back. Oh, don't look so down. Come on, get your head lifted up. Your redemption's getting ready to draw nigh. Don't get comfortable. You back up in a minute. You know, if you'll really keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and his return, you know, you'd be a lot happier than you really are right now. If you watched all the news, I'd get depressed too, but Jesus Christ is coming back. And I've discovered that people keep looking for Jesus to return. I will tell you, they are a people the most productive, excited, and joyful about the future. I'll never forget when I first started out as an evangelist. I traveled from church to church, and I went to this little town in Mississippi, a little bitty town. Wasn't the end of the world. You could see it from there, but a little old town. And so I prejudged the church because it was just this little white frame, it was a red brick building, just square. I walked inside. The church smelled musty and old pews, and I thought, this place is going to be boring. Nobody wants to come to this church. Sunday morning, I walked in, the place was jam-packed. I mean, jammed to the gills. Every age group, every generation was in there. Every race of people in there in Mississippi. I'm telling you, it was crazy. These people were going crazy, loving each other, going crazy bananas in that place. And so I'm worshiping God, and I thought, God, I'm so sorry I did this. I shouldn't have done this, prejudged this church. And then something kind of nudged me in my spirit, says, open up your eyes, and I'll show you why you missed it. And I opened up my eyes while I was worshiping God, and then I noticed something inside that building. This is no lie. The exit signs were not above the doors. Someone had taken them and glued them to the ceiling of the church. Now, these folks were excited about seeing Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, church family, when you start realizing that your hope is not in this world, that you quit stressing out over all the little things that are pulling you down and depressing you, the rejection, the pain that you see all around you, and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and love him and love people, you'll live a whole lot more excited about the present day that you're living in. But there are things in the Bible, the reason why I'm teaching this is because there are things in the Bible that we need to know we can trust the word of God. Things that are preludes before the rapture occurred, before the tribulation, before the second coming of Jesus, when he actually lands physically on this planet earth. That there are things that were predicted. And the reason why I believe the future of the Word of God is because you can believe the past of the Word of God. You can look through the writings of the prophets, even of old, and how they were fulfilled. And if they were fulfilled in the past, then I can put confidence in the future. Do you know, just as it relates to Jesus Christ coming, all the prophets that wrote over a 1,500-year span, do you know there were over 300 prophecies about who Jesus Christ would be, what he would do, who he'd be, and how he'd come? 300 of them written over 1,500 years. Think about that. Over 300 of them, Jesus Christ specifically fulfilled 61 of them very specifically that were prophesied. Like, for instance, it prophesied that Jesus the Messiah would ride and not walk into a city called Jerusalem and not some other different city. It said that he would ride on a donkey and not on a horse. It said that when he was betrayed, he would be betrayed by a friend and not by some acquaintance or by an enemy. It was specifically prophesied 1,500 years before it that Jesus Christ, think about it, would be sold for 30 pieces of silver and not 40 pieces of silver. Very specifically, 61 nailed him just very, very precisely. Friends, I'm telling you this. The chances of that in mathematical equations is absolutely nil. So I'm telling you that if past events were prophesied fulfilled, how many know you ought to pay attention to the future events that occur? Let me give you some of the things that have occurred that would happen prior to the rapture of the church that have already been fulfilled. Let me give you a few of them. On May 15, 1948, something happened to Israel. Israel became a nation, something nobody said would happen, and they became a nation on May 15, 1948. Theologians have said ever since that moment, we have been living on borrowed time. You got to pay attention to Israel, friends. Pay attention to Jerusalem. Pay attention to it. Why? Because Isaiah the prophet, listen to this. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 66 verses 8 through 10, go back and read it. He prophesied Israel coming together to be a nation. Jesus also promised it also in Matthew 24 verses 32 through 34. Go read it. And he showed that Israel would once again become a nation and be gathered together again. The Bible prophesied that Jews would return back to Jerusalem. They would be scattered. Jeremiah 23, 7 through 8. The Word of God says, from the north country and from all the countries where I have driven them, he said he would return them back to Jerusalem. Pay attention to that. People would never thought that happened, but literally tens of thousands of Jews coming from the area, that region of Russia, are now flooding back into Jerusalem, plane loads coming back there. The Bible predicted all that. The Bible also prophesied in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12 that there would be called the Battle of Armageddon. This will come at the end of the seven-year period of tribulation after the church is taken. Battle of Armageddon. But it also says that the Euphrates River will be dried up to prepare the way for kings of the east to invade Israel. Now people thought, what in the world are you talking about? Drying up the Euphrates River so the kings of the east can battle. And that battle will be a battle of Armageddon. It's in verse 16, in that reference I gave you, verse 16, where actually they will come to war against Jesus Christ himself, but Jesus will sit there and defend Israel during that time. People say, dry up the Euphrates River. Well, on January 13, 1990, the Indianapolis Star carried this headline in their newspaper, and it said, Turkey will cut off flow of the Euphrates River for 1 month. The article stated that a huge reservoir had been built in Turkey. While filling up the reservoir, the flow of the Euphrates was stopped for 1 month with a concrete plug as a diversion to build the channel. That means, friends, that now Turkey has the ability to stop the Euphrates River at will if it needs to. This 1,900-year prophecy was fulfilled. Friends, I would pay attention to the future if some things have already occurred. So many people are talking about the peace in the Middle East. Everybody's wanting peace in the Middle East. Who's going to bring peace? All the chaos that's happening between the Arab world and Israel. What's going on, Pastor? Matthew 24, 32, Jesus said, pay attention to what's happening in Israel. This man called the Antichrist is going to bring peace to negotiate between the Arab worlds and Israel, and everyone will rejoice. But here's what the Bible prophesies about that temporary peace during that seven-year period of time. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child. The Bible's already predicting what's going to happen. Revelation chapter 9 through 15, verses 15 through 16. The Bible also prophesies that the kings of the east are going to amass an army of over 200 million soldiers that will launch a war that will kill a third part of men. A third of mankind, humanity, destroyed. Never in the history of the world, until our present generation has there been a power on earth that could field 200 million soldiers. Never before. Mao Zedong boasted in his diaries that he could potentially field an army of 200 million people. And now if you'll go to the statistics, you will discover that their age eligibility for men, they have enough men to field an army of 200 million people. That could never have been fulfilled until the days now that we are living in. We look at communism and the Soviet Union, it seems to appear like everything's peaceful, everything's okay. But let me tell you, communist hardliners are still there. They're very alive and they're very well, and don't be deluded about it. Russia will move against Israel. Ezekiel 38, go and study that. Gog and Magog, that's that region of the north. Many theologians believe that it's in all probability Russia, that there is going to be a war, a third of the earth's population will be destroyed. How in the world could a third of the population be destroyed like that, Pastor Sam? We'd have never believed it until the day and age in which you live right now. All of us are sitting there waiting with bated breath exactly what Kim Jong-un is going to do with now nuclear weapons that can now reach United States territories. Nuclear warheads now, friends, now in the hands, you're just looking at Iran, you're looking at Syria, rogue states that have hostility toward Israel and toward Christians, friends. Can I tell you something? We have never been in a position for this to occur than right now. Now, Jesus followers, you don't need to be scared. I don't need you buying 7 years of dried food, okay? I don't need you to go build a bunker after this service because there's going to be nuclear fallout and we're all going to wake up one morning looking like little fireflies floating around Grand Rapids, Michigan. No, friends, let me tell you something. You ought to get excited. You ought to have confidence in who you are as Jesus Christ, because Jesus predicted these things would happen. In fact, in John 14, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believed in God, believe you also in me." He says, "Because in my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Come on, everybody. How many excited about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, he's coming back, church. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. You said, "Well, I'd believe it if you could explain it." Well, you believe a lot of things you can't explain. Some of you still don't believe they sent a man to the moon. You think they're in a barn somewhere in the desert of Arizona they filmed all that. You believe a lot of things you can't explain. But I can tell you, it's a mystery. In fact, when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, when he ascended into heaven, they were shocked at what was happening in that very moment. So much so that as they looked up into heaven, angels appeared. And this is what they said to those men in Acts 1:11. They said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven?" I mean, it was an event. They're going, "I can't believe this." Look what it says. "Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday," everybody shout someday. "Someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go up." You believe a lot of things you can't explain. He's coming back again, friends. And he's coming to take the church. He's coming to the church. You say, "Why would there be a rapture? Why would God have to put this deal where he takes Christians and the dead in Christ and removes them before church? Why would you do something like that?" Here's the reason why I believe the rapture is there. This dramatic supernatural event of the Jesus followers. I believe the reason why it is in place is to keep the church from deception. Because Jesus Christ, God's word showed us, literally, Jesus is going to come. He said this because there's going to be many false prophets who come and say they are Jesus Christ the Messiah. The Antichrist will show himself as being God. Now listen, if you don't believe that Jesus is literally coming again in the clouds, how will you know the real Jesus when he gets here? So I believe that God installed a fail-safe system, a mechanism so staggering in its supernatural power that Satan cannot duplicate it. To keep the church from deception that it did occur, I believe he put something, a mechanism so fail-safe that no person who just decided to grow a beard over a few months, put a bed sheet around his body and call himself the Messiah, could ever try to duplicate it or mimic it. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul, when he penned it down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, you're going to know it, friends, because only Jesus, the Son of God, could pull it off. And he said, one day it's going to happen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Come on. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Church, come on. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. All I know is that I will not need NASA to do a countdown for me. I won't need a launch pad. I won't need a space shuttle. I won't need a flying saucer. All I'm going to need is my faith in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you one thing. Jesus is on a countdown. I don't know if he's at 10. I don't know if he's at 5 or 3. But one day he's going to say 1-0 blast off. And Sam Reifkel and all the believers in this world are going to rise up to be with him in the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Come on, friends. How many are excited about Jesus Christ returning and coming again? He's coming again. But when we leave, absolute evil, pandemonium, chaos, and fear is going to plague this world, even in the city of Grand Rapids. 131 will be jammed. Cars will be piled up. 44th Street, you think it's jammed now trying to get to the mall for Christmas? It's going to be piled up for people trying to get into this place. Cell phones will get the response. All circuits are busy. People trying to locate loved ones. I will promise you that there'll be a time when people are sitting around dinner tables, and when they look around, the plates will be emptied because the diners are no longer there. They're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, friends. And one day we're going to leave the asphalt streets of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we're going to make heaven our home and walk on streets of gold. How many of you believe, friends, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back? And when that occurs, every backslidden Christian, every apostate Christian, every God-hater, every person that walked away from Jesus Christ will be piling up, and this church will be packed to the gills, all in this room looking for someone to give them an answer. And my friend, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I wouldn't wait another second to surrender myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because when we leave, absolute terror, Satan incarnate himself will be unleashed on this entire planet. And there are some of you watching me right now that do not understand our joy right now, because you're experiencing that right now. You're saying, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I can't find certain family members. I can't find friends. I don't know all this chaos. I don't know what to do. Well, I want you to know, first of all, that you would see the love of Jesus Christ to send you these strong signs that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords of this world and this universe, and that you need to turn your life to him. And he loved you enough to get us to prepare this website, or someone gave you this thumb drive and you got this. And I need you very clearly to listen to what I have to say, because I'm going to give you 14 instructions of what you need to pay attention to if you're going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, things are going to unfold very fast. So I want you to go get pad and pen. I want you to write this down. Please write it down. I wouldn't trust some of your digital devices that you use. Write these down. Are you ready? Come on. Here we go. First of all, number one, do not fear. Satan is the one who works on fear. He does not work on faith. He does not work on peace. He doesn't work on love. He works in absolute terror and fear. So do not panic, do not be afraid, because here's what happens. Not only will fear destroy your faith, but listen closely, fear begins to turn into anger, and you'll start blaming people for not being hard enough on you to tell you about Jesus and forcing you to follow Jesus. And it'll start getting where you start blaming God for all these things. Don't blame God, don't blame people. Do not fear, do not panic. I want you to trust God. Number two, this is the most important of everything that I will tell you today. Your only hope is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Lord of your life. No one else. Not a bunch of religions. It's only through Jesus Christ. It is your only hope. He's the only one that died on the cross for you. He's the only one that rose from the dead. And he's the one that's coming again. And he's going to take you if you will follow him with all your heart and all your soul. You say, Pastor, can you tell me that's the truth? Let me show you what Revelation 7:14 says. Listen to this. Listen closely. It says, and he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's talking about you. That's talking about you. You say, well, how do I give my life to Jesus? You have to simply believe in your heart. And when your mouth declares Jesus Christ is my Lord, accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. You say, well, how do I pray? Well, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're just going to bow our heads. We're not going to repeat this prayer out loud in here, but I want you to pray this prayer after me right now. So right where you are, I just want you to say this prayer because it's your only hope. But believe it. Believe it in your heart. So say this prayer. Just say, Jesus, today I give my life totally and completely to you. I believe you're the Son of God, that you lived a sinless life. And when they crucified you on the cross, you were thinking about me. I accept the power of your blood that washes my sins away. Jesus, come into my life because I know you're coming back. You are the Lord of heaven. You're the Lord of earth. And now I declare, you are the Lord of my life. I am forgiven, I am clean, I am saved, I am born again. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome, we welcome you. Welcome you. You're my brother. You're my sister in Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're not around to shout with you, but I'm telling you right now, the Bible tells us when one comes to Jesus, all heaven's rejoicing. We are partying up there. Come on, church. Let's rejoice one more time for those who've given their lives to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He loves you. Don't get angry. He loves you. Here's number three. I need you to write these quickly. I want you to gather all the Bibles you can find. Try to find hard copies, as many hard copies. Be weary of digital devices during this time. Be very weary of them. But get as many Bibles. Hide them in several locations if you possibly can, because Bibles will soon be confiscated and destroyed. I promise you, when the Antichrist has his rule, I will promise you, he will destroy everything that is a semblance of the Holy God. Number four, when you get this Bible, I want you to read this. I want you to read these books. Go to the Old Testament. It's divided in two books, Old Testament, New Testament. I want you to go to a book called Ezekiel and go to chapter 38 and 39. Read those two chapters. These are very important. Then I want you to go to a book called Daniel in the Old Testament. Read the entire book of Daniel. You may not understand it all, but you'll start seeing how they're intertwined with what you're in right now. Read the book of Daniel. Go to the first book in the New Testament called the book of Matthew. Don't try to read all of it right now. You can go back later, but go to Matthew 24 and read what Jesus said about what would happen before he's coming again and what will happen during the tribulation period. Also go to Luke chapter 21 and read there as well. Now, once you go to the final book of the Bible in the very back called the book of the Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it speaks very specifically about things that will happen during the tribulation period time of 7 years. It will get worse in the middle of it. But go read it. This will give you an overview of where you are. Because what you need to understand is where you are right now and what you're headed toward and what you might face. This will show you so you can have confidence in knowing that what God says about you and your future will come to pass. Simply obey him. Just simply obey this word and read it. Number five, I want you to pray without ceasing. Now, the believers in Jesus Christ that have been taken in the tribulation, that voice is not here. Any voice that rises up for righteousness will be immediately extinguished. And I don't know what manner that might be. Most of it will be by persecution or even by execution, not wanting anything of righteous or Jesus Christ or the Son of God. It will be totally pushed away. But you must hear me. The church is not there, but the Holy Spirit is here. But his function has changed. He will step aside for the 7 years and allow Satan incarnate, the Antichrist, and those who follow to have his way. You will need the power of the Holy Spirit that only comes through you in communion with God, praying without ceasing. This doesn't mean, when I say pray without ceasing, that you're on your knees all the time praying 24/7, can't move. What this means is have those moments of dedicated quiet time and start communing with God through the Holy Spirit. Even when you're walking through the day, even when you're doing the routine of the day, I want you to always be in this mindset of talking to God, his Spirit speaking to your spirit, without even sometimes even saying words, but in your spirit, you're praying. Many of you will experience the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit like the book of Acts, read it, where they begin to pray in the unknown tongue, where the Spirit of God starts praying through your spirit to pray the direct will of God. This will be the only thing that gives you true strength to withstand what many are going to face and probably what you will face. Pray without ceasing. Number six, I want you to memorize scripture. Get scriptures on how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. Find lots of scriptures about comfort and the peace of God and the presence of God, because so many people will get discouraged and they'll get weary. But I want you to memorize it, because you're going to be an encouragement to them and it will encourage you. You will need to have scripture and memorize it, because soon a Bible may be something you will not be able to get at all. Number seven, I want you to take this message, if you've gotten it on a thumb drive, maybe the website is still up and not been discovered yet, but when you get to point two, I want you to share this message with people you know are looking for answers. And when we get to point two, like I led you to Jesus Christ, guess what? You're gonna lead them to Jesus Christ. You're gonna pray with them. You're gonna have souls go to your account when you stand before God. So you begin to pray with them. You can do it. You have to pray just like me, but lead them to Jesus Christ to pray that prayer. Number eight, I want you to find true Christian Christ follower, true Christ followers. Now I'm gonna be very careful with that, because there are people that will espouse, they are Christian, they'll do good deeds, but I want you to be very careful around those kind of people. You must watch them over a great length and period of time, because what has happened is some will pose as Christians in order to infiltrate and find small groups, pockets of believers, so they can destroy them, so they can disband them. I'm telling you, be very careful, because some may pose as Christians that may actually be working for government agencies to shut down anything that smacks of Christianity. Number nine, I want you to find secret meeting places. Just like you have different locations for Bible, find different locations for the small band of people. It may only be a few that you might have, but you are changing the location at all times to encourage each other. Please find different locations that are secret places you can meet. Number 10. This is as important as number two. Number two is the main important one, but I want you to listen to these next two points that I'm gonna give you. Do not follow the new world leader. You're gonna know exactly who I'm talking about. We don't know who that person is. You will know who that is. When the church is removed, the Antichrist will be revealed, the Bible says, because he will be so easy to follow. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. This person will come off compassionate. He will even probably be more compassionate than even some people who claim Christianity in the day that I'm speaking. He'll have more compassion than they will on the poor, the disenfranchised. But this is to lure people in, and he will try to show himself as a man of peace. He's going to be very charismatic. He's going to be very compassionate. He's going to be a man of peace, but that is not who he is. He is Satan incarnate. He is the Antichrist. And serving him and giving allegiance to him will cost you your soul eternity. You say, what do I need to know about him? I want you to go to Daniel chapter 7, read that. Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 11, read those three chapters, and it gives you an overview of the true intentions of who he is and what he will do. Then go to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 17. These will tell you who he really is and what he will do and his future plans. He's gonna be brilliant. The economic system is gonna be in total upheaval. He will put together a team of people that will design an economic system whereby people are going, that's absolutely brilliant. It'll be so brilliant that the Bible says that men and women will not be able to buy or sell or purchase or make transactions without a particular mark on their hand or on their forehead. The Bible refers to it as the mark of the beast. Now, people used to think we were crazy as Christians when we preached that. But now that we've come into this age of technology and the advancement of technology, we are not so crazy anymore. People say, how would you get people to take that on their hand or their forehead? In all probability, it will maybe be something that is some type of a digital type technology. Even now, we may be seeing precursors of this right now. There's a company called 3 Square Marketing that now has embedded a chip in the hands of their employees, 50 employees who volunteered, and they're simply using it for convenience. They'll swipe to open and log in on their computers right now. They use it to purchase things. They use it to get information. Now, this is just for convenience sake. Many hospitals are looking at this whereby they can get information about someone's health. But friends, I'm telling you, it will be so easy, people will accept it as normal to take this hand on their hand or on their forehead. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you had a chip in your child's hand that if they got abducted, we could find them immediately, or we lost a soldier out in the field doing some type of reconnaissance or was taken, we can find them immediately. I'm telling you, all of the technology is in place. This could be what happened. We're seeing could be the precursor to that very thing. Do not follow this man and don't take that mark whereby you can buy or sell. Please listen to me closely. Don't take that. Don't take that. Revelation 14, verse 9 tells us why. Here's what it says. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. I'm telling you that when you take this, your soul is eternally lost, eternally destined for destruction for eternity, just as the Bible described. And it's going to be so hard not to take it. It's going to be so accepted by the culture. And it may even be that you're not going to be able to purchase goods. You may not be able to get medical attention. You can't get the drugs you might without this mark. I got to be honest with you. You must be prepared to suffer during this 7-year period. You must be prepared to suffer, probably even starve. And many people, the Bible says, will die during this time. Even Jesus in Matthew 24:19, he said during that tribulation period, he said it'll be dreadful for the woman who gives birth to a child during that tribulation period time or is nursing during that time. You may be sitting there with a senior citizen, a parent, who you can't get any medical attention because you've heard people don't take the mark or worship this man. And now you're in a position, you say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Listen closely. Do not take that mark or follow that world leader. Here's the next thing, number 11. Don't worship the image of the beast. I don't know what it will appear like. I'm not sure how it will happen. But the Antichrist is going to bring peace with Israel and Arab nations. He will bring peace. But in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years, he's going to turn, and you're going to see his evil and his terror be unleashed on Israel because, really, he hates God. He hates God. Daniel 11:3 says he's going to put an object inside of the temple where they are worshiping God. He's going to put a temple in there that it's called the abomination that causes desolation. This man called the Antichrist, listen closely, don't follow him, because he's going to have tremendous psychic power. He's going to have the ability to have miracles happen by his own hands. In fact, the Bible even says that he's going to have the power, so much power, that he'll give this image that he's placed, the image of the beast, he'll cause it to have the ability to speak. Look at Revelation 13:15. It says, and it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would speak and cause as many do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, I know what you're saying. You're going, Pastor, what's the hope here? What's the hope? If I don't take the mark, whatever that is, that mark on my hand or my forehead, if I don't worship him or show allegiance to him, then they'll kill me. They could destroy my child, my family member, my elderly parent, myself. They're going to kill me, Pastor. And if I do take it, then I'm destroyed by God. What's the use anyway? I want you to hear this very closely. Jesus Christ said, "Do not fear the one that can destroy and just kill this physical body." He says, what you need to fear is the one who can destroy both the body and the soul, the one that determines the destiny of a person's soul for eternity. Satan may destroy your body. You may go through 7 years of persecution, of absolute pain. You may see family members die, but I'm going to tell you something. It will pale in the light of being in the presence of God for eternity. Don't you dare give up and do not follow that man. Do not take that mark. Don't take it. Don't take it. Because there is hope. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Listen, I want you to hear this. Let this encourage you. Revelation 20 and verse 4, it's talking about you. It said, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus, because of the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. Here, get ready for this. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Come on, that's you. You're going to rule and reign, and you're going to rule and reign over Satan himself. Don't fear him. Don't fear him. Number 12, I want you to prepare for worldwide famine. It may be localized in certain areas, but I'm going to tell you there's going to come a time where food is going to be scarce. People will kill just for a morsel of food. Number 13, I want you to relocate to the countryside. Walk away. I know you spend a lot of money on the house, but go find a place in the countryside. Move to different locations, because most people who will be persecuted and tempted to follow the Antichrist will probably be in large cities. They'll be found out. Move to the countryside. In fact, I would strongly encourage you to be very wary of any type of digital devices that you might have whereby you can be tracked or located. This is the reason why I say find Bibles, memorize scripture. I'm telling you, you are going to face some things, my friend. They're going to be absolutely horrific, but Jesus Christ is with you, and the Holy Spirit is with you, and we're waiting for you. So I would tell you this last thing. Don't give up, because you're going to want to give up. I could not even imagine what you're facing right now. You're going to want to give up. Because during that tribulation part, I didn't even have time to even cover what's happening, even to the earth itself. Even the earth is revolting, longing to be redeemed. Earthquakes are happening more frequent. In fact, even in the day we're living, just this past week, there was an earthquake felt in Baltimore and in New York. In the past 7 days in California alone, 119 earthquakes, tremors from 1.5 and up have occurred. You're going to see more of this. The Bible talks that the sun will turn as black as sackcloth. I don't know if it's because this is because of nuclear fallout, but it'll turn to black as sackcloth. The moon will appear and look as if it's blood. The ecosystems, the climate changes are going to happen quickly. Stars will begin to fall from the skies. The Bible said, like a fig tree casts her untimely figs. The weather system patterns will be so messed up that there will be hailstones that will fall. There will actually be 150 pounds falling from the heaven, the Bible predicts. Mountains and islands will be destroyed and completely disappear. You're going to be facing all that. I don't know what part of the tribulation in, but you'll face it. There'll become a time where insects will sting people, and the sting will last, the pain will last for over 6 months. If you think that's what's happening right now in my culture is bad, sin will abound because Satan will be unleashed to do whatever he desires during this time. The Apostle Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, even now, Satan is at work in our day and age. But he says, but when the one is removed, when the church is gone, when the Holy Spirit steps to the side, he will have his way with sin all over this planet. So you are going to see some of the most despicable, most heinous sin that will now be accepted as normal. Witchcraft will abound. Satanism will be the religion of the day. It will be unleashed. Sexual immorality will be unleashed in a way you have never seen before. Even at the risk of children when it comes to sexual immorality. I'm telling you, Satan will have his way, and you are watching this, and you are seeing this, and you are weeping, and you're afraid. Can I tell you something? Jesus loved you enough to let you see these signs to confirm to you that he is the Son of God. And what he longs for is you to declare that he is the Lord and that you will never move away from him. I wish you'd have gotten saved when you had an opportunity to do so. But Jesus loved you enough, and someone loved you enough to get this message to you. And I know it doesn't seem like much hope, but I'm telling you something. Jesus is coming again, and he is coming for you. We will return with him, and we long to see you face to face. Don't give up. I'm going to pray for you and all these believers here at Grand Rapids First. We're going to pray for you right now because we know that you're going to make it. I'm going to ask that no one leave this building unless it's an emergency, and we're going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I ask you now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would come in and just be right with them right now. I know some of them have watched some things happen to their own family members. Some of them have watched people they love dearly just separate and go from them, even their own person they were married to, because they choose not to follow Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine the pain. I can't even describe it, Lord, but they are living in it. And Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, would you just flood their spirit, their soul, their emotions, their thoughts, fill them full of the power of your Spirit. You can make them stronger than anything that is coming against them. Anything Satan can unleash, you can make them stronger, Jesus. So I pray now, Holy Spirit, be with them. Protect them. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will use them to bring others to Jesus Christ during this time. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will protect them, because one day we will see them again. In Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. We're waiting for you. Don't give up. As tough as it is, don't give up. We'll see you soon, and we'll be together for eternity. We love you. God bless you. Goodbye.